recap of one of our lessons that we've done with the teens recently. And actually, we just finished this, calling it the game plan, a strategy for spiritual growth. But a couple funny notes that I noticed. I wore a red flannel day. I remember seeing a meme a long time ago that said, if you work with youth, as soon as that first leaf falls, every youth leader puts on a flannel. Look, Chris and I, we're both wearing flannels today. Just kind of tied along. How many of you looked at the clock today? A couple people have probably looked at their phones. A few of us have probably looked at our watch. A few probably in the last few minutes wondering, how long is he going to talk this time? A couple of our teens probably had that same problem because I was supposed to speak for only 20 minutes and we were supposed to prep for the lesson. I looked down and I've been talking for almost an hour. So my time management's a little off some days. But it made me realize that we're obsessed with time. There's a clock there on the wall. We have clocks on our phones, clocks on our wrists. And it reminded me of an image I saw a long time ago that I wanted to read out for you to kind of open the lesson up. Try to imagine a life without timekeeping. You probably can't. You know, the month, the year, the day of the week, there's a clock on the wall, the dashboard of your car, you have a schedule, calendar, a time for dinner or a movie, a watch, a phone. Yet all around you, timekeeping is ignored. Birds are not late. A dog does not check his watch. Deer don't fret over passing birthdays. Man alone measures time. Man alone chimes the hour. And because of this, man alone suffers a paralyzing fear that no other creature endures. A fear of time running out. A little dark, a little gloomy way to start the lesson, but time is what I'm focused on. So because a lot of the lessons are focused around sports, I want to talk about basketball. Like, every sport has clocks. Football, seems like 15 minutes quarter can last for about 3 hours, depending on commercial timeouts and all. Soccer, I have no idea how much time is left in the soccer game ever, but basketball in particular was the focus for this lesson because some of the best basketball you ever see is the last 60 seconds. If you look at a court, it's shaped like a rectangle, and at every corner behind the backboards, there are clocks. Now, normally that's the shot clock, but that last 60 seconds, it times down. And we all love, now the video there is supposed to be a video of what's called the buzzer beater, the shot that goes up, because the ball's in the air, when that buzzer sounds, it will still count if it lands. So the buzzer beater shot. And it makes you wonder, well, now that I don't need to carry that around with me, because how do we apply that to our lives? Well, it comes down to out of Hebrews 9:27, which I'm going to read for you real quick. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We can take from that verse, 10 out of 10 people are going to die. A youth pastor once promised me, I promise you, you are going to make it to the end of your life. Okay, the Bible scholars in the room are going to say, what about Enoch and Elijah? Yes, Enoch walked with God and then was no more. Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. So those, except for those two exceptions, everyone will die. So our sticky statement, the statement that goes with every lesson, and is if you read through the lesson format, this here, it repeats the same phrase over and over again, you can't reset life's countdown clock. Now James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is as a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. We don't have a lot of time, and we can't add minutes onto that clock. So let's dive in a little bit onto this. Our first point is that life is sacred. Now, we can come out of Genesis, Genesis 1 and 2, we have this whole story about creation. Man was made from dirt that God breathed life into. Woman was made from the rib, so on and so forth. God created. He said it was good. So I think that would kind of mean that it's kind of important, kind of sacred. We jump into Jeremiah even. I've noted what I wrote there for a side note. Bear with me while I'm jumping through my references. Where is my reference at? That's the downside of having little tabs and stuff in your Bible. You get them all mixed up, especially when you're trying to speak. One of our teens have Jeremiah 1:9 by chance, or 1:5. This is usually the part of the services when I'm speaking, I have the kids read out everything. Can you stand up here and belt that out for us real quick? Okay, so he's speaking to the prophet Jeremiah at this point, but if we look at some other verses of the Bible that God takes care of even the birds, we can take even from this passage that God knew us, formed us. That would, and again, it's his creation that makes all life is sacred. Now let me jump back to James for a moment. And we reference the fact that life is like a vapor, so anybody see that at all? Kind of vanishes a little fast, doesn't it? But that's the equivalent of what our life is. Now, someone once explained to me that whenever you look at the timeline from creation to the end of the world in Revelations, it is two points. It's a straight line, and someone did the timeline, but then they wrote the word God that covered the entire board, with arrows pointing out, because God is bigger than our timeline. But if you look on that little tiny, say about that big, from A to B, from creation to the end of the world, our life is not even a speck of dust in that. See, we're not promised the tomorrow that we have. And I think we have a poem that one of our kids was going to read for us real quick. A gentleman named C.T. Studd, missionary to China and India and Africa in about late 1800s. Going to have Randa come up here and read that for us.
Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only when life will soon be past, only when what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet, and stand before his judgment seat. Only when life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Only when life the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only when life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Only when life a few brief years, each with its burden, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only when life will soon be past, only when it's done for Christ will last. When in this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, and joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Only when life, yes, only one, now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I'll know I say, 'twas worth it all. Only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last.
Thank you, Miranda. So to summarize, and with this phrase that was repeated over and over again, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. See, whenever I'm doing these lessons, I always have random things that just fire into my head. Like, who's seen the movie Gladiator? Anybody? Well, in the opening of this movie, it's not a Christian film by any stretch. It's a historical drama, a lot of action in it. But the commander is rallying the troops right before the opening charge, and the opening fight of the film says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Every time that phrase comes back to my head when I think about this poem, I think anything could possibly tie to it, it ties to that. But it comes down to We only have one life. So bring it back to the sports reference. When you're out in a game, do you get a do-over in a game? No. That's why a coach always said to me, leave everything on the court, which is to let me expand on that a little bit. It means that whenever you're out and playing the game, you don't get to play the same game over again. You have to play the best you can, and that way you leave no doubt that you did your best. Let's go ahead and jump to our third point. Life is short. So, as with the spray bottle, remember the vapor? It's gone. You have one life. You cannot add second. Now, in football, you can add, in some refereeing decisions, you can add time to the clock. You can take time off the clock, but you don't get extra time. Especially in life, you have a guaranteed point in time that you will not be here any longer. We can't add any time to that. Our life is short. Remember back to James 4:14, life is like a vapor. We don't have extra time. So it comes down to, I'm talking to two groups of people tonight. And the first group are those that maybe have not. Okay, let me tie this together a little bit first. So when the game of life is over, when the buzzer sounds at the end of your life, where are you going? Because the entire lesson centered around game plan, centered around a strategy for spiritual growth. See at the bottom there. Well, you have to be, your spirit has to be there for it to grow. So the first lesson here focused more on the concept of salvation. But there's three steps to this. I mean, God basically laid it out as A, B, C for the idea of salvation. We'll get to that. We'll get to the definition of that in a minute. But A stands for admit, 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, 3:23, I had 6:23. I had a thing, but that's the first part of that. Wages of sin is death. So, we look at humanity. We look at history. We look at how things have gone so far. You want to deep dive into Israel's history. The teens know the concept of the endless waltz. Waltz is a three-step dance. Everything's good, everything's bad, everything's getting back to good. They have to have God come in and fix everything, it's getting back to good. If you look at those three ideas, that's Israel's history in a repeating process, an eternal dance. So if everything's so bad, God could have stopped immediately, halfway through that verse, and he would have been justified way to sin, death, gone, bye. But, there's a but in there. And that's where Christ comes in. So admitting that Christ died, that Christ paid that debt for us, that's A. B comes in with a little more with Acts. We spoke about, a couple of kids read Acts there, where we have Paul back in prison. Surprise, surprise, he's back in prison again. He had a thing with prison. But Paul and Silas were captured. Earthquake opened all the gates inside the prison. All the shackles were unlocked. And the Roman prison, the guards there, they had this thing where if their prisoners escaped, they were going to be put to death. So this guy's like, I'm dead. I'm just going to end my own life. And then Paul's, hey, we're still here. He's ready to fall on his sword. And he's like, hey, I know we're still here. And he asks, what do I need to do to be saved? And he makes it very simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Immediately takes them out. They witness to the entire household. And it doesn't say a whole, how many steps are there in what Paul said? Believe. One. A, B, and then we have C, which comes out of the book of Romans. Now, it says only verse 10, 9, but I'm going to read a little bit more of the section. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And this is kind of re-emphasizing back to last, close that out. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. It's written out A, B, C. That free gift that God gives to us, that salvation, which defined deliverance from the power and effects of sin through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, I had, just like I said a little bit ago, I had two groups that I wanted to talk to tonight. The first is those who maybe have not accepted Christ as Savior, which, again, it's simple. God didn't make this complex. He didn't make this a 20-step program you have to go through. It's admitting that we of what we are and who he is, believing in him, and then calling out for that free gift. ABC, 1, 2, 3. There's your Jackson 5 reference for the night. But it comes down to you can't reset life's countdown clock. So we took a couple kids to the Judgment Island, and what that is a lot of is a depictions of life and death and showing everyone how fast and how suddenly death can catch up to you. And we had two that accepted Christ through that. And it's a ministry that I was a part of for a long time, almost a decade. Saw a lot of people come to Christ through that. Now, to those that aren't saved, that this phrase should be almost it is a warning. Because, again, your life's a vapor. You have no idea. You could walk out onto the street out here tonight and be hit by a car. Then it's too late. So to go down with the countdown clock, do you have the time to waste? Now, the second group of people that I wanted to talk to tonight was, okay, those who have given their life to Christ, well, how's your game looking? How much time do you have left? We don't know. When you leave this world, are you going to know that with the countdown timer that you had, did you do everything you could? Because like I said a little bit ago, I had a coach once that challenged us every single game that whenever you go out, make sure you leave no doubt that there is nothing else you could have done. So to apply that to our Christian life, is there something that is stopping you from being able to serve fully? Is there something stopping you from just doing anything? When the buzzer sounds, how is your game going? Did you do all you could? Everyone bow their heads, close their eyes for just a minute. I promised I wouldn't take up too much time. In a minute, I'm going to have the pastor come up and lead our closing. But I just want to reemphasize again, if you haven't given your life to Christ, if you haven't accepted that gift of salvation, like I've said, like this lesson points out, ABC, it's very so simple. He didn't make it complex for a reason. And those that are saved, those that have been redeemed, the question comes down to, how's your game going? And are you doing everything you could? Because do we have the time to waste? Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all to come out of for fellowship tonight. Be with us. Lead God, direct us. Help us not to stray from your will for our lives, Lord. Help us each day to spend every second of the count clock that we have left, Lord, serving and honor and glorifying you. Lord, we love you again. Lead God, direct us. Help us not to stray from the will you have for our lives, Lord. In your name we pray.
We thank the teens for their service tonight. Afterwards, you can thank them, talk with them, appreciate the work there.